Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to On Air from the Chair with your host, Big Mike. That's me.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to On Air from the Chair. I am your host, Big Mike, and let me just tell you how stoked I am right now about this next guest. The whole reason why I started this podcast is to share extraordinary stories from your everyday people. And I tell you what, this guy might be Superman, but talk about a story that he has to share. I'm really excited. It's the entire reason why I started this podcast is for individuals like this. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome Jordan Hammett to my chair. How are you, Jordan?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, man. So, hey, Jordan, my listener would love to hear just a little bit about, you know, who you are. Kind of tell me where you're from, what's going on in your life right now.
Yeah, man, I'm 21. I grew up in this neighborhood, actually. I was real close to this area. You live right across the street from the middle school that I went to.
Oh, really? Okay, in Plano.
Yes, sir. I moved to Princeton shortly afterwards. Mm-hmm. Got married pretty quick at 18, moved out. 6 months after getting married, I was diagnosed with cancer and had a quick run with that, beat it, and now I work every day.
I love that. So one, I didn't know that you were originally from the Plano area. And listener, if you're not familiar with Texas, Princeton is probably a 15 to 20 minute jaunt from Plano, but totally different, although everything's developing now in Texas. Yeah. I mean, what Princeton used to be considered country, now it's got every amenity known to mankind out there as well. So there's all kinds of development happening out there as well. So 21. So congratulations on legal drinking age.
Yes, sir. I've been doing it for 5 years now. Might as well do it legally.
Do it legally. Yeah. So you said it very matter-of-factly, which kind of baffled me a little bit. So you got married at 18, and then you were diagnosed with cancer. What kind of cancer were you diagnosed with?
I had two forms of leukemia. So I had one AML form and one ALL form. I wish I knew the details and the differences, but
sure.
I just had to deal with it.
Gotcha.
But yeah, it was pretty severe. I had this huge lump in my neck and thought it was pharyngitis, like some kind of throat infection.
Right.
And this is at the peak of COVID. Like, this is when COVID has started going rampant here.
Oh, no.
And, you know, if you go to the hospital and you don't have COVID, they don't care.
Right.
They don't want anything to do with you. So I went to the hospital a few times and I was like, hey, man, this is really bugging me. And all the medicines you've given me have not done anything.
Haven't done
anything. Like, oh, you're fine. It's, you know, it'll go away in a couple of weeks. And me and my mom, I know this kind of seems off topic, but it'll come together.
Sure.
Me and my mom didn't have the best relationship. Like, we didn't really get along. We hadn't spoken in months. And I just had this feeling that this was a little bit more than just like a throat infection.
Sure.
I got a second opinion from a different hospital, and they were like, yeah, this looks like lymphoma is what they said it was.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had to come to terms with it. And first person I thought to call was my mom, which was a weird situation because she's honestly the last person that I wanted to speak to at this time.
Right.
And she told me to go to a certain hospital. I did. Met her there. They wouldn't let her in the room with me because of COVID.
The whole COVID thing. Yeah. That's awful.
But they told me that that's most likely what it is. We're going to get you a room. We're going to get it figured out. They started running tests. They said my white blood cell count was extremely high. They didn't know how to look at it.
Right.
They quickly started. I think it was either that night or the following morning. They started rounds of chemo just to see if it would do anything.
Make a difference in your levels.
They did. Nothing. Like, didn't work at all.
Wow.
So they had to take my blood and ship it to, I think it was Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay.
Specific scientific lab.
Yeah, the Cleveland Clinic or out of Cleveland, Ohio,
yeah, probably. That's exactly what it's called.
Yeah.
And it was there for, like, I think it was 3 to 4 days before they could get any answers. Didn't have anything.
Yeah, you know? So as this is all happening, I mean, what do you feel inside? Like, to get that news at a very young age, You know what I mean? It's, I mean, God, my heart is bleeding right now for you. You're like, I mean, what did that make you feel like?
There's a lot of why me, you know, like, sure. Why was I, you know, my life is on a good path, and why would this happen to me? What did I do? Deserve this?
Right.
But there's also the watch me, you know, like,
yeah,
this is nothing, bro. Like, I can handle this, this, for lack of a better term, I'm not a bitch, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to take care of this.
Okay. Get done. That's badass.
And it was just that determination from day one. I was like, I'm going to leave this hospital.
Yeah.
I'll walk out and I'm going to be fine. I might not have hair, whatever.
Right.
But that cancer is gone and I'm going to take care of it.
That's awesome. Well, and I mean, I'm no medical journal specialist or a doctor of any sort, but I do know and I've heard that, you know, that mindset plays a really strong piece in any type of recovery. I don't know if you know this or not, but so I worked with your mom. I know that you know that.
Yeah.
And that's how I'm familiar with your story. But I obviously didn't know you. But I was on Facebook and there's a local show that was on the air here, Ben and Skin, and I really enjoyed their show. And I saw on their page in Facebook, you or somebody had wrote something about you. I think it was you saying, hey, you know, blah, 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 this has happened. And I responded not knowing that you were, you know, your mom's son. I had no clue. I was touched by what you had wrote. And I said that, hey, I don't know you from Adam, but understand that there's even strangers out here that are praying for you and rooting for you and want nothing for the best for you. And then I thought it was strange because then I saw your mom responded, thanks, Mike. Yeah. And I'm like,
we just talked about this. Yeah.
I'm like, what in the hell? Why would she be thanking me for some? And then it dawned on me. Because your mom hadn't really made it known yet that you were going through something, at least not to me. And you know, not to cast aspersions upon my relationship with your mom. Maybe we weren't close enough yet for that personal type of level of communication. But then she shared with me and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, that's just crazy. So, but it seemed like you had a lot of support through it, both internal family and external.
I did, man. I got a lot of love from people that I've never met, you know, different states, different countries. Work took care of me. You know, I had a full-time job before I got sick and they were taking care of me. They would host car meets at the top of the parking garage. My room overlooked the top of this parking garage and they did car meets and then they just had family and, you know, tons of people come out there all wearing orange, waving flags and posters and signs.
Yeah. Well, and because again, COVID was rampant, so nobody could come see you. Yeah. You had to be isolated in there, which again, speaks to how strong of a character you have, a will that you have to be able to not even have people right there with you and saying, damn it, no, this thing's not going to get me. I'm going to kick its ass. Yeah.
That COVID situation, man, the hospital visitation hours were crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wanted my mom to be there with me, you know, for all hours of the day, but she could only, I think it was like it was 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning is when she could show up.
Right.
But she had to be gone by 4.
Oh, wow.
And they would shut it down and she would have to take a COVID test, you know, every time.
Sure.
And that really killed me, man. Laying there by myself, I didn't really want to be on social media just because I didn't want to be on my phone at all.
Like, right.
I would be Googling, you know, what are my chances of dying? You know, am I going to make it? How many people do this? How many people do that?
Right.
But a lot of times I just had to lay in there and watch reruns and just kind of have those thoughts to myself. Some days were worse than others, but the majority of the time it was, this cancer's going to get beat. I'm going to take care of it. It's whatever. I'm going to be able to handle it.
So so how long was it until you ended up having a bone marrow transplant?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how long of a time frame from the time you were diagnosed to when you had the transplant?
I spent about, I think it was like 3 to 3.5, and this is all a blur, by the way.
Sure.
This is not exact.
Right.
It was 3 to 3.5 months doing chemo and radiation. So that first hospital that I was talking about, after they did those tests in Cleveland, they found out it was a pediatric cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 19, so they had to pull some strings and figure out how to get me into the children's hospital.
Right.
So I finally transferred to the children's hospital. The rules were way looser. The children's medical center, it was like 3 to 3.5 months. And then I got to go home and spend, I think it was about a month and a half at home.
Okay.
But during that time, I knew that what was coming was the worst. Like, this is the hardest part of what I'm about to endure. Because I had to go to that hospital and do it by myself in an adult hospital, which, you know, I'm 19.
Right. Oh, sure.
Out,
sure.
I got to go stay in an adult hospital by myself.
Yeah.
It's going to be 30 days is what they told me. There's no way around it. You're going to be there for 30 days.
For 30 days.
And I know 30 days doesn't sound like, I mean, whatever, it's a month. But when it's a month of you laying in one bed
worried.
In the hospital by yourself, not knowing if you're going to make it out of that hospital.
Right.
You know, it was intense.
Mm. Yeah.
But that hospital tried their hardest. They pulled some strings for me and they were able to get my mom to come up there and stay. So I was really grateful for that.
Sure. So it was a successful transplant.
It was. Yeah, it was super easy. I mean, other than the chemo and radiation, of course.
Super easy. Hey, listen, I had to go through chemo, radiation, and, you know, bone marrow transplant. It's a walk in the park.
But when you hear bone marrow transplant, I'm sure you picture, you know, cutting your bone open and putting something in there, but it's just an IV bag.
Yeah.
They give you Benadryl, put you to sleep, and pump you full of somebody else's stem cells.
Sure.
Which in, I think it's like 3 weeks from now, I get to meet my donor.
Oh, do you? I was thinking to myself, I don't know if you asked that or not, you know what I mean? But so in 3 weeks, you get to meet your donor. Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
At the 2-year mark, they have to keep it super hush-hush for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
I speak with them.
Okay.
I don't know where this guy's from. I know he's a middle-aged male.
That's yeah. It. Oh, wow. So, okay. Yeah. And so, yeah, I think I heard that November 14th or something like that. That's when you'll go have another test done or they.
I don't believe there's going to be another test. I think they're just pretty confident in the fact that it's gone. They do my blood tests pretty frequently. My appointments after the hospital, man, I had to go twice a week, had to be there at 6 o'clock in the morning. And mind you, I lived in this little town. Called Telephone, Texas, right? And if you know where Bonham is, I don't know. So he explained where Princeton was. Bonham is about an hour northeast of Princeton. Telephone is about 30 minutes northeast of Bonham.
Oh, wow.
So from Telephone to Dallas, it was like almost 2 hours.
Sure.
To be there at 6 o'clock in the morning every 2 days.
Oh, wow.
To do tests and,
yeah,
you know, check me out.
A couple things that are going through my mind, and maybe you can speak to it a little bit, is, you know, obviously you've overcome so much, and to keep the positive attitude you have is just badass. I've got goosebumps because you're inspiring me so much. The other thing that I see, and correct me if I'm wrong, you know, I mean, you talked about your relationship even with your mom. And going through something as serious as you did drew you closer to somebody who you had kind of parted a little bit away from. And it seems as if you guys have really rekindled that relationship.
100%. Everything happens for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And that truly opened my eyes to it. You know, I used to believe in coincidences.
Coincidences, yeah.
There's no such thing.
Right.
Everything is set up to happen for a reason.
Absolutely.
As much as I would like to say, if I could go back, I wouldn't do it again, but I would. I would deal with it again because it's taught me so much. It's brought me a lot closer to a lot of people. For a little while there, I kind of got this like sympathy, you know, you're the cancer kid. You know?
Right.
And that's cool for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
But after a certain amount of time, I'm not just that kid that had cancer.
Right.
You know, I'm a grown adult. I'm a functioning human. Don't look at me like that anymore.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome. So what would you tell somebody who's going through the journey you just came out of? You know what I mean? Obviously it's a positive story. So, would you give them some sort of advice as far as to mindset as to, you know, I've never been through it, so I can't even articulate a question around it.
Well, number one, stay away from WebMD as much as you can. That's the worst. Honestly, that's the worst thing for you. But as far as mindset goes, you have to stay positive. Your brain has a lot more power over your body than you would ever imagine. And if you keep a positive mindset and just you have to know that you're going to be able to handle it, you could physically make yourself be able to handle it.
Be able to handle it.
And those days that I would get a little, you know, down and droopy and be like, this is probably going to kill me. Like, I'm not going to make it out of this. Mm. Those days I felt the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's just physically ill. The days that I was like, yeah, whatever, I'll be back home riding my dirt bike in a couple weeks. Those days I was like, yeah, fuck it. I'm going to be able to kick this cancer's ass and get out of here.
Yeah.
But it's all about mindset. My mom was a huge part of that because she wouldn't let me get too far down.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
She would constantly fill my head with, it's going to be fine. You know, you're strong. She would try to play it off like it's not that big of a deal, right. You know, and deep down, like, yeah, it kind of is a big deal.
Yeah, I'm sure deep down she's feeling like, oh, my God.
She's just as bad as I am with WebMD, man.
Sure.
I just have to smack her phone out of her hand and tell her just to watch I Love Lucy or whatever was on TV.
Sure. Yeah. No, that's funny. So, you know, when things happen to us in life, you know what I mean? There's always a lesson we learn. And I'm a big proponent of there's no coincidence. No coincidence. I have trouble saying it.
Yeah.
No coincidences either. You know, I do believe that every choice that I've made, even as I'm going through it, I'm in the weeds. I don't understand it. But as time has gone by, I'm like, okay, so that led me to this, which then led me to here, which led me to that. You know what I mean? So, you know, what do you think this will do for you in the future? Like, you hear people have, you know, situations and they come out of it with a different mindset. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what's your mindset on your life right now? You know,
every day you wake up, I mean, it's you got to thank somebody for it. No matter what you believe, there's somebody out there that's helping you.
Right.
You know, you have to take advantage of that and be grateful for every moment you get. Because you don't know if you go to bed tonight and you don't wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
You have to stay grateful for every breath you take. As cliche as it sounds, I mean, I wake up in the morning, I'm like, whew, I don't have cancer.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, no, and it's funny you say no matter how cliche it sounds, it people feel like it's cliche until it happens.
Yeah.
Until you really don't know, you know, and that's when you just have this renewed, and you know, so I think your story is absolutely freaking amazing, and I really appreciate you coming in and talking because, I don't look at you as a cancer kid. I look at you as a badass MF-er who punched it right in its face. And that's the news that we need to get out these days.
Yeah.
There's so much negativity. There's so much just ill will towards everyone right now. To have just an uplifting story of somebody that, you know, faced it head on, was open to people helping them and being around them and surrounding them with love, to be able to come out on the other side. Like I said, it gives me goosebumps just hearing your story.
And there's a lot of people out there who wish they could have done more. But in reality, I mean, what could you have done?
Sure.
I didn't need anything financially. I mean,
right.
We were lucky enough. I mean, I should have started with this, but I didn't have any insurance.
Mm.
So going into this, I was like, oh, shit, this is going to cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
And that should be the last thing on my mind.
Oh, my God. No, you should not be thinking about how am I going to pay to stay alive.
This is America.
Yeah.
And that's what we run off of. And we were lucky enough. My mom's insurance through Total Wine, they knew about me having cancer before the fact that they would allow us to use their insurance, and they were all for it. They let us use, I mean, I think it rounded up to like $2.6 million total.
That's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. No, I know that was a big thing with me working with your mom at the time that they were able to be able to do that. And, you know, and it just goes to show you that there's people, organizations, you know, when you rally around and do the right thing, it feels good.
Yeah.
It feels good. You know what I mean? But it's also the right thing to do. You know what I mean? And you're exactly right. Somebody who's facing what you had to face shouldn't have a thought in their mind like, how am I going to pay to stay alive? That should be the last thing on your mind.
Believe it or not, they had this one bag of chemo, and it was, I guess it was a special bag, and you had to have a certain insurance coverage in order for them to use it. And ours was delayed for some reason. It took a couple days or however many weeks or whatever to get that situated. They wouldn't let me have that chemo until the insurance was done. Like it was set.
Oh, wow.
Because the chemo was like $250,000.
Jeez.
They wouldn't save my life if I didn't have the insurance. They would have just let me wither and wither.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's there's definitely areas we need to fix for sure. You know, and it's sad when, you know, profitability gets in the way of being, you know, caring people. I was trying to think of a better phrase, but I'm not that smart. But it gets frustrating when you know that people probably do get turned away quite a bit. What if you weren't able to, have that support from a corporation that allowed you to get on benefits outside of the norm because it's the right thing to do? There's, lots of people out there right now. You know, I think cancer is the scariest word that an individual can receive.
Yeah.
And the more, I lost my dad to cancer about 11 years ago. So it touches my house real closely, and I think everyone has been touched by it. But your story is one of those where, hey, we don't have to, we're getting better at this.
Yes, it really opened my eyes to how crazy the healthcare system is today. I mean, some guy from, I don't know if he's even in the U.S., some guy in the world, they pumped him full of steroids or something and pulled his stem cells out, and he saved my life.
Right.
And I guarantee you, 20 years ago, that wasn't feasible.
Definitely not. It would have been science fiction 20 years ago. You know, and
every day there's improvements.
Yeah.
So it really, it's such a weird fence to walk on, because I look at it, one side is it's just profit, but the other side, they're doing this crazy research, and they want to save people's lives and be able to do it. But on the other hand, they want a ton of money to do it.
Sure. Yeah. And, I think that's a frustrating piece and kind of that social dilemma we're in. It takes all this money for all this research and all this kind of stuff. And as things first come out, they're so horribly expensive.
Yeah.
And then it gets out and time frame lapses and they're able to reduplicate it, and the whole generic market and all that kind of stuff. It's not perfect. But you're a living example that it does work.
It does work.
Yeah. Does. So, I can't thank you enough for being in. I look forward to probably having you on again, and we won't talk a damn thing about being sick or cancer because I loved our conversation. It's my first opportunity to really meet you. I've heard of you. I've seen pictures of you. From the bottom of my heart, I'm so excited for you. I can't wait for November 13th to get here.
I can't either. They're calling it my second birthday. So I'm hoping that I get a little something thrown my way for my second birthday of the year. So I'm going to start celebrating that.
For sure. Absolutely. Well, hey, to be 21, to be able to speak about this, I think is fantastic. You know what I mean? And Jordan, thank you so much for coming in, dude. You killed it. Absolutely amazing interview. And again, I'm so blessed to have you sitting in my chair. It really means a ton to me.
Thanks for having me, man. I can't wait for another conversation. I mean, whatever it may be about, I'd be happy to be back for sure.
Next time you're in, we'll just shoot the shit.
I'm down.
All right.
Words cannot describe how great that interview was.
One, I want to apologize. I know the audio is a little garbled. Not exactly sure what had happened. We were trying to fix it, but I will have it fixed by the next time that Jordan comes, because I tell you what, I had chills that entire interview. What a phenomenal and impressive man Jordan is, to face what he was faced with and to come out the other side with the knowledge and the maturity that he has faced it with is just all inspiring. So I hope you were inspired by that as well. And remember, listeners, if you're out there and you're starting to face this challenge, reach out to us and understand that you are not alone, that everyone out here is cheering for you and supporting you. So if you need information about resources that may be available to you, feel free to email us at info@onairfromthechair.com, and we'll get those resources out to you, at least contacts, websites, that type of thing. So you are not alone out there. And Jordan, I tell you what, I'm so excited. We're going to have him back for a couple more episodes, one to talk about a little bit more about, what the actual mentality is like going through this. I mean, there's some dark stuff that you have to face, and I think it's important that we talk about it, but I think it's important that we share this great news and hopefulness when you're battling with this awful disease. And then the other episode will be, we're going to do a follow-up after he's met his donor. So we're really excited about that. Again, listener, I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. I sat with goosebumps through the entire thing. So, but you know, there's always one thing that I ask you before we end the show. Who dares to take the chair? Will it be you?